Hello, I'm Bex, and welcome to the Week Junior Show. Today, I'm joined by three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds. We have Kay.
Hello.
Michael.
Hello.
And Vanessa.
Hello.
Now, the new issue of the Week Junior magazine is packed with everything you need to know about the most important and fascinating things happening around the planet and beyond. Inside, you'll find out about Children's Mental Health Week, Chinese New Year celebrations, and plans for a film studio in outer space. If you want to get your hands on a copy of the Week Junior, you can get a six-week free trial by going to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and using the code PODCAST. Now, on this week's episode of the Week Junior Show, we'll find out about a report into parties attended by the Prime Minister during lockdown, calls for British Sign Language to be given official status, and we reveal the secrets of hippo calls. Plus, we'll have a debate all about whether people should be able to sell their own body parts. But before all of that, I need to talk to Vanessa, because Vanessa is going to be taking over as acting editor of the magazine while Felicity is away with her baby. Vanessa, tell me, what are you most excited about?
Excited or scared? Two sides of the same coin, very much. Can I just, gosh, I haven't been on the pod for ages. It's so nice to be back. Anyway, yes, well, I actually did 3 days. So Monday, Felicity finished last Friday. So I did 3 days this week. So I sort of did half my first issue. And I think it's probably working with the team to come up with ideas. That's the most exciting bit, because when I was managing editor, you'd think kind of changing jobs on the same magazine would sort of, you know, be the same thing. But actually, when I was managing editor, I worked right at the end of the magazine. So in other words, I you know, made sure the pages were perfect and I sent them to press. Whereas when you're the editor, you work right at the other end of the magazine and you're working with people to sort of come up with ideas and decide what goes into the magazine. It's a completely different perspective. So yeah, it's been really fascinating.
Oh, I didn't know that's how it worked. Thank you for explaining that. That's very useful to know what you do, basically. And it's also lovely to have you on the podcast, of course, Vanessa. So thank you for coming back.
Oh, well, it's great to be back.
So we know the magazine is obviously in very safe hands with you. You've been with the magazine from the very first issue, I believe. You've made 321 of them. Is that right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I did have a couple of holidays in that time, so I can't say that I worked on 321, though for any boss listening, yes, I absolutely worked on all of them.
100%.
But yeah, it's 321, blimey, I wasn't sure we'd be here when we started out. Seems like a very long time ago now.
Well, long may it continue. Right, well, we still have some podcasts to do, I suppose. So seeing as we're talking about British Sign Language, I want to know, what language do you wish you could speak? Kay, how about you?
I'd love to speak Spanish, just because every word instantly makes you feel happy.
Oh, that's a lovely explanation. Great stuff, Kay. Michael, how about you?
So I'd love to speak Klingon, which isn't necessarily a real language, but also kind of is. So it started out in the TV show Star Trek as the language of these aliens called the Klingons. And then people kind of developed it into a fully fledged language. And I think there are people now who are actually fluent in Klingon. And even though the Klingons maybe don't actually exist, I just like the idea of technically being able to speak to aliens.
Okay, sure. Why not, Michael? Yeah, let's. Okay, I'll grant you that wish. And Vanessa, how about you?
I'd like to speak Dob and Kattish. Are you familiar with the language, Dob and Kattish?
I'd love to say yes, but I'm absolutely not. Can you explain it, please?
I would like to be able to talk to pets. In fact, dog and cattish. Yes, I have invented that language. I already know what I'd say. I tell cats off for hunting baby birds. We're coming into baby bird season quite soon. Sure. And I would ask dogs to save up all their poo and do it in one sitting, so to speak, and not have several goes at it when you're on a walk, because that uses up lots of poo bags. Yeah.
I don't know what to say to that, Vanessa. When I said to somebody, learn a new language, apart from Kay, Michael and Vanessa have both gone really left field there.
Well, I think you don't get newer languager than dog and cattish.
You literally just invented it, so no, you really don't.
Yeah.
Which makes my answer pretty boring, because I was just going to say French, because I did French at school, and I only still remember little bits of it, like Où est la gare, which I think is where is the station. So I'd like to learn more of it. I'd like to be able to be fluent in French.
Yeah, you know, if I had to do a real language, I would do French. And
I think you'll find it now, Vanessa.
I think you'll find it's Où se trouve la gare. There you go.
Oh my goodness. Oh, okay. Well, in which case, I definitely need to learn my French. Well, thank you for that, for putting me in my place. I also want to know what everybody's favourite fact is from this week. Kay, what have you learned?
A flying car has been given approval to fly, and its makers are hoping to fly it from Paris to London soon.
Wow. I like the idea that they made the flying car without any approval to fly. They were like, fingers crossed, someone will let us. Brilliant. What a trip that will be. Michael, how about you?
Well, the tennis player Rafael Nadal recently won his 21st Grand Slam. But what I didn't know was that his uncle, Miguel, was a footballer and actually won 14 major trophies with Barcelona during the 1990s. So clearly sporting talent runs in the family.
Also, Michael, the fact that you didn't know a football fact there blows my mind.
I know. I was surprised too when I read it. I thought, how did I not already know this?
I'm glad you've got it now. And Vanessa, how about you?
Well, this is the International Year of Glass. Did you know that? And I was interested to hear that something that was invented around 4,500 years ago, glass, is still being used and in really kind of cutting edge latest technologies like fiber optic cables and the International Space Station windows. I just find that really astonishing.
Yeah, something that's so old is actually so modern and useful. Well, very good facts there, guys. Thank you. And now it's time for real or rubbish. Now, this is when I get told a story. I have to guess whether it's true or false. Michael, what do you have for me today?
So a group of scientists in France have created a bubble that cannot be popped. It's an unpoppable bubble. So three physicists from the University of Lille have spent many years studying bubbles, and like most of us, they found that bath and soap bubbles last just a few moments before popping. However, they've been able to create a special type of bubble called a gas marble, which still hasn't popped. As we speak right now, it is still there, hasn't been popped. And this is partly because of these special plastic beads on the bubble's surface, which make it stronger than usual. In fact, it's so strong, you can hold it in your hand and it wouldn't break. Now, does this sound true to you, Bex, or is this story a whole lie? Is our bubble of lies about to burst?
So, why have they done this, Michael? Do we know?
Why not? I mean, who wouldn't want to blow a bubble that could last forever?
An infinite bubble. Now, I know that this is a long story. My cousin's dog loves blowing bubbles in her face. Like, that's how she goes to sleep. That's how she knows it's nighttime, is if you blow bubbles in her face, she's like, all right, night then. And that's when she goes to bed. So I know bubbles are useful. But also, I don't understand why you would need an infinite bubble. Like, what's the point? Is there a reason for this? It seems a bit pointless, right?
Maybe not. I mean, maybe there's, you know, the science behind this. If we find out how to make a bubble that can last forever, who knows what else that same science could be put towards.
But what do you do with a bubble that lasts forever? Just look at it and say, oh, good, I can poke it and nothing happens. Like, what's the point of a bubble that lasts forever? And also, how big is this bubble?
I mean, just regular bubble size, I imagine.
Regular bubble size. Keeping it vague there, Michael. Because when you explained the story, I thought it was going to be a massive bubble. But thinking about it, you know, it must be pretty small to minimise the risk of it popping. And you said it's little plastic on the outside that stops it from popping.
Yeah, so there's these small kind of beads on the surface. So that makes it kind of stronger than your usual bubble.
I just don't see the point of this. But also, from all of the stories you've told me over the last few weeks, sometimes the most pointless things are actually true. It's very, very tricky to guess this one. All right, I'll have to have a think about it. And if you're listening and you've not read your copy of the magazine yet either, well, feel free to make your guess before the end of the show. We can find it out together. So now it's time for our three most interesting stories from this week. Kay, what have you been finding out about?
The government's supporting a bill that would make British Sign Language an official language in the UK. British Sign Language is a way of communicating using hand gestures, facial expressions and body language. And it's mostly used by the deaf community. If the bill becomes law, then the language will become legally recognised. It will be promoted in schools and there'll be better and fairer access to information and services. The British Sign Language Bill was put forward by the MP Rosie Cooper, whose parents were both born deaf, and it's been supported by campaigners including the Strictly Come Dancing winner Rose Ayling Ellis.
So what will actually change if the bill comes in?
So recognising British Sign Language as an official language will mean that hospitals and surgeries have to provide interpreters. And this is really important for deaf people who currently have to rely on friends and family to talk and listen for them if they go to the doctor. Ailing Ellis told the BBC, "If I go to the doctor, there's no interpreter, which means I have to bring a family member with me, but I just want privacy." The Deaf Association has said that deaf people in Britain never gave up hope that their language would be recognised in law one day. And the bill still needs to pass two more stages in Parliament before it's law, but having the government support means it's now more likely to do so.
Oh, that's great. That's a really good story. Thank you very much, Kay. Now, Vanessa, how about you?
Well, I have got a story, but first I do want to emphasise, I've gone back on it, and I do definitely want to speak dog and catish, because I want to be able to speak to your cousin's dog about the whole bubble thing. That's really weird. But anyway, on to slightly more nationally important things. We've all been waiting for the Sue Gray report to be delivered. Now, a bit of background, which is actually going to be probably as long as waiting for the Sue Gray report. In case anyone hasn't heard, people who work at number 10 Downing Street, which is where Boris Johnson works, the Prime Minister works, have been said to be having parties when the country was in lockdown for COVID. In other words, the people who were deciding the rules and telling us what to do seem to have ignored them. And the story's been going on for weeks, even actually months now. As the Prime Minister first said, there weren't any parties, then that there might have been, and then that there were gatherings, but there weren't parties. And to untangle all this, Sue Gray, who's a civil servant, civil service helps the government carry out its ideas, she was asked to investigate all these stories and find out what on earth's been going on. And the rules in place at the time these events were happening, because they are said to have happened over several months, so the rules were changing. The rules in place at the time these events were happening at Downing Street, it might have said that having several people meet up and have a drink or a birthday celebration was against the law. Not just the rules now, the actual law. And that's meant that the police have decided to investigate. And because they were looking into matters, the police asked Sue Gray not to publish all her findings. So she's been working on this report, finding out exactly what's been going on, and she was going to publish the whole thing. And they said that the events that might have broken the law are a police matter, and that a full report of all events being made public would affect their investigation. A lot of people don't quite understand how that could be, but leaving that to one side, Sue Gray has done what the police asked her and has published what she's calling an update, because it's not her full report.
Oh, I see. I'm glad you've explained this to me, because I was very confused myself. Now tell me, now that this update has been delivered, what does it actually say?
It might not be the full report, but it is extremely critical of Boris Johnson and his team at Downing Street. She said that gatherings shouldn't have happened. Staff should have thought more carefully about what was happening across the country. In other words, everybody else was obeying the rules, no matter how painful or sad it was to do so. And that there was a failure of leadership. That's very strong language in this sort of context. And the government was hoping that Sue Gray's report would end all the stories about what went on. But the fact that the report is incomplete and that police are looking into events means that it's actually going to go on for a lot longer.
All right. Well, thank you for explaining that. That's actually genuinely quite helpful. Now, Michael, how about you? What have you been finding out about this week?
So I've been finding out about hippos and their wheeze honk, which is a word I wasn't familiar with before this week, but now I cannot stop saying. So a new study has revealed that hippopotamuses can tell the difference between their friends' voices and those of strangers, and they have a very smelly way of reacting when they don't like what they hear. So a group of French and Portuguese scientists recorded wheeze honks, hippo calls, from seven hippo groups in a reserve in Mozambique. And then they used a loudspeaker to play the recordings back to each group. So first of all, they played the recordings back to the hippos of the calls from the same group, then from a neighboring group on the same lake, and finally from a group of strangers from another lake. And whichever group of calls they played, the hippos usually reacted by making their own hippo call, their own wheeze honk, and approaching the speaker. But sometimes they would spray out poo and fling it around with a spin of their tail. And what they found was that the hippos reacted much more strongly and sprayed a lot more poo if the call that they heard came from a total stranger.
I mean, first of all, lovely use of the word, consistent use of the word, weetonk. Secondly, why exactly are they throwing poo around?
So most scientists think that this poo flinging is a way for hippos to essentially mark their territory and scare off rivals. So this research showed that they react far less strongly to familiar neighbours than they do to strangers. And this is important for researchers to know, because if they ever need to move hippos to a new place, for example, to protect them, then they can play recordings of the hippos' wheeze honks to each other in advance to get them used to each other before they move in and become neighbours. But yeah, essentially, the throwing the poo around is, in a way, their reaction to meeting strangers, which is maybe something that hippos could get away with, but certainly some behaviour that I think could be frowned upon if humans were to do it.
I don't think that would fly quite literally in the Week Junior studio and office, right?
No, definitely not.
Probably not ideal. Now, as well as reading more into these stories in the Week Junior, you can also read all about Loki, A Bad God's Guide to Being Good, a hilarious doodle-filled book that puts a new spin on the myths of Norse gods. It's written by Louis Stowell, and here she is to tell us a little bit more about herself.
Hi there, listeners of the Week Junior show. My name is Louis Stowell, author of Loki, A Bad God's Guide to Being Good, which has been selected as Book of the Week in the current issue of the magazine, and I'm here to answer two very important questions. Firstly, do I like Marmite? Yes. Secondly, what was my favourite book growing up? Lord of the Rings.
Okay, so it's time for the big debate. And this week, we're asking if people should be able to sell their body parts. Who can tell me some more, please?
I can. So it's illegal to sell organs in most countries, including in the UK. There are 6,000 people in the UK, including 200 children, in need of an organ transplant. An organ is part of your body that has a particular purpose, such as your heart or lungs. An organ donation means giving organs for free to someone who needs a transplant because they are ill. Around the world, there are thousands of people waiting for organ transplants, but there aren't enough organs for every patient in need. In the UK, people can donate their organs and body parts, such as their heart and lungs, after they die, by putting their name on the NHS register. Living people can already give, not sell, a kidney or part of their liver as well as their bone marrow. Some people think that the number of available human organs could be increased if living people were allowed to sell body parts that they could manage without. Perhaps letting people sell their body parts would solve the shortage of organs needed for life-changing transplants. What do you think? Should people be allowed to sell body parts?
Oh, this is controversial. Okay, so it's going to be Michael versus Vanessa for this one. Guys, you obviously both know. It's 1 minute each. Michael is going to go first to say why people should be able to sell their own body parts. So whenever you're ready, Michael, take it away.
Well, if people can donate parts of their bodies without harming their health, then why shouldn't they be allowed to sell them? According to doctors, you know, healthy people donating one of their two kidneys shouldn't harm their health or affect how long they live. And it could boost the number of organs available for transplants. As Kay was saying, you know, there's lots of people waiting for organ transplants and there aren't enough available for them. So perhaps if people were allowed to sell their body parts, and it would mean more organs are available for transplant and they could save more lives. And it would allow these donors, the people who donate the organs, to be paid and rewarded for it. It's a big problem not having enough organs available for transplant, and this could potentially solve that. And if someone is willing to do it and able to do it, to sell part of their body to help others, then why not? Provided, of course, that there is a safe, proper system in place to do so. But if there is, then why not?
Oh, gosh. And under a minute, but very well argued. Thank you very much, Michael. So, Vanessa, it's time for you to go against Michael. Whenever you're ready, go for it.
See, now, this is really worrying for me because I've just put down some notes and I know I laugh about it, but I'm actually quite scared of Bex. So I'm going to really try my best to hit the thing from notes. Anyway, I can definitely see the argument that people can do what they want to do with their, whatever they want to do with their body. But we're not talking about, you know, getting a tattoo or dyeing your hair or something. This is really serious. I think we would definitely have to have systems in place to make sure that everything was above board and that people had really kind of given their permission to sell their organs. But I would worry that people were perhaps bullied into selling an organ. So they'd sign all the forms and everything, but they didn't really want to. I also worry that rich people can therefore afford good health, whereas poor people would be pushed into selling a body part. And I know they say that your health won't be affected, but gosh, it seems like a long time to live without one of your kidneys. Also, finally, there are brilliant breakthroughs in science and tech. There are pig hearts. Man just had a pig heart implanted. We can grow kidneys in labs. I just don't think this is the right way to go. I think science will help us rather than human harvesting.
Oh, lovely stuff. That was a minute. You should know, though, I did accidentally press the timer when you started talking, saying how nervous you are of me. So I restarted it. So you are well within your time there, Vanessa. Kay, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree with Vanessa. I think we should wait and see what science can do. And, you know, you might donate a kidney and then need it back later in life, but you can't really ask for it back.
You can't really, can you?
That's, I think you could ask. I would definitely, if I needed it, I would definitely ask. I just don't know what the answer would be.
It's not past the parcel here. It's very difficult to get it back, I imagine. So listeners, let us know what you reckon by responding to the poll at theweekjunior.co.uk/polls or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk with a video clip explaining which side of the debate you support and why. Last week, we asked if £45 million is too much to pay for a painting. 65% of you thought that it was way too expensive for a picture, even if the artist is very famous indeed. And here are some of your comments.
One PopJam user sent us a message saying, yes, I think it is way too much. I think people who are rich can only enjoy it and everyone should be able to enjoy it. Meanwhile, listener Finley sent us this message.
No, this painting should not be sold for £45 million because people who don't have a lot of money should be able to buy it or even put it in a gallery so other people can see it.
Some people felt people should pay what they want. One person said, no, because if that's what it's worth, that's what it's worth.
One PopJam user was undecided. They told us, it depends on what painting it is, because if it's a really good painting, which took the artist a while, then yes. But if it's a really bad painting and the artist rushed it, then no.
Oh, excellent points of view there. Remember, this is your chance to get involved. If you want to hear your voice on the podcast, grab a grown-up, record a video telling us what you think of this week's debate, then send it in to us at hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and we could play it out on next week's show. And that's not the only thing we want to hear from you about. We want you to create your very own The Week Junior Show style podcast. If you want to do an impression of me, Vanessa, K. Michael, feel free. Send your audio files to hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and we will play the best clips on our show very, very soon. So yeah, if you fancy becoming a podcaster and getting your own Week Junior style show, get involved. Now, before I let you go, we've got to reveal our real or rubbish story. Michael, can you remind me what it was, please?
This was the story that a group of French scientists have made a bubble that cannot be popped.
Right, to the point there. Excellent. I'm going to say, I think this is pointless. I think this is such a ridiculous thing to do. And because of that, I reckon that this is real. So that is my answer for this week. I think this story is ridiculous, but real.
Drum roll, please. It's rubbish.
No, no, but, you're kidding me.
So the bubble popped, but they did make a pretty strong bubble. They made a bubble that lasted for 465 days, Bex. 465 days. So not forever, but longer than your normal bubble.
Oh my goodness, my cousin's dog would go crackers at that. I'm annoyed I got that wrong because I really, really did genuinely think it was real. I was so convinced. That is another win to the Week Junior magazine. The numbers are not looking good for me. Anyway, that's it for the Week Junior Show this week. So it's goodbye to Kay.
Goodbye.
To Michael.
Goodbye.
And to Vanessa.
Wheez honk.
Drop us a comment on PopJam at the Week Junior or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you get your podcasts. Bye.
If you want to get your hands on a copy of the Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and use the code PODCAST.